One of the interesting things, if you've ever traveled with a man, that you notice is that there is a phenomenon that takes place when you're lost in your travels or you're confused for whatever reason, that men refuse to get directions, don't they? It's almost like they're afraid to give up their manly, their masculine GPS. I know where I'm going. I know where I want to be. Yeah, but we're lost, you know. So that really doesn't help. Or it's almost like they don't want to ask for directions, because asking for directions means giving up their Y chromosome. They're no longer going to be a man. We ask for directions, and it goes on and on. In my own personal experience, in the years when I used to race and travel all over the United States, one of the things that I learned in my own personal experience is I found, first of all, that many people don't know what's near them. If you stop to ask directions to certain people and you ask them where a certain thing is, you're trying to find a certain thing, and they look at you like you're from the moon. I don't know. I've never heard of it before. Well, lo and behold, after you do find it, it's within a mile from where you ask them and where they live. I found that to be true in many cases. But also, I've found in my own personal experience that it is very wise to ask for directions, because sooner or later, somebody's going to know where the thing is that you're looking for. When I go into a store and I'm looking for a particular thing, I have found, because time is very precious, the best thing to do is to just ask somebody where it is in the store and go there, rather than trying to figure the store out, of which I've never been able to do why they set things up the way they do. But in spending all this time trying to figure out where something is, and I actually walk by it, and then when I humble myself enough and admit that I'm not the man that I should be and I need directions, and I ask, the clerk takes me to where it is, and there it is. I walked right by it and looked right at it. So we begin a new leg of our journey of life in 2 days. And we're faced with many situations in which we won't know which direction to turn in 2019. We're all going to be there. This is life. We've come to know it this way, that we find ourselves in the middle of something that's bigger than we are. We have no control. We've lost control. We don't have any direction. We just simply don't know which direction to turn. We're reminded through the scriptures that it's wise to stop for directions. I am still a map man, although I'm learning to really love Google and Google Maps and some of the directions, although they've actually led me in the wrong direction. But I still like to stop and get a map out. When I realize I'm lost, the best thing I've found to do is to pull over to the side of the road, get under the seat, pull out a 1980-some map, and start leafing through, and I can find where I am, and then I can find where I want to be and find my way by using maps. Today, we have our GPSs. We have Google Maps. I love Google Maps, and I'm getting used to being able to ask it where I want to go, and it shows me and makes life a whole lot easier. But I have found that one of the wisest things that we can do as human beings is to stop and ask for directions in any and every situation, especially in our spiritual situations. We read about some people that did that, some men that did that long ago. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. The book of Matthew is the only gospel that writes about these magi, these three men. We call them wise men, because they were looking for a king. And Matthew's gospel presents Jesus as the king, the promised coming king. So you see this in Matthew, because this gives evidence to the fact that Jesus truly was a king, more so in the sense of just to his own people, the Jews, and in his own geographic area, that it was bigger than that. It was more far-reaching than that. God put a sign in the sky, and these men showed up in Jerusalem, you see. As I read the story, and we read it every year at Christmas time in our nativities, there's these three men. We know that they brought gifts with them, and they were looking for a newborn king. They were astrologers. They were an honorable class of astrologers. They studied the heavens, and to them, this sign in the heavens indicated that a king had been born somewhere, so they went to find this king. And we really don't know much about them. We don't know that there was only three. We can surmise that. Scholars have figured why there might only be three and symbolically what that means. We know that symbolically why they brought the gifts of the incense, gold incense and myrrh. But as I thought about this, I thought, well, these guys really weren't wise at all. They really weren't wise men at all. But then as I thought about it and I read a little farther, I realized, yes, they were. And here's what really made them wise and makes us wise as we begin this new journey, as they began their journey to find Jesus the King. The Magi had a dilemma. Jesus was born in Bethlehem during the time of King Herod. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who's been born of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." They saw the star, they saw the signs in the heavens. So they followed the star, and it gave them direction, and they found themselves in Jerusalem. And they asked, "Where is this king?" Now, first and foremost, it took a lot of courage to show up in Jerusalem in the time of King Herod and ask, "Where is this new king of the Jews that's been born?" That would have stirred things all up, much like it does in our culture today when you start talking about Jesus being the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It stirs people up. They came to this person who was already king there and said, "Well, where's the new king that's been born?" And it tells us that King Herod heard this. He was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. He called together. So here was their solution. You see, they called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them where the Christ was to be born. And they said, "Well, in Bethlehem in Judea," because that's what the prophet prophesied in Micah, that Bethlehem would be the town where this new king would be born. Okay. So Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them when the star had appeared in the sky, how long they had been coming. He sent them to Bethlehem. He said, "Go and search for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I can go and worship him too." When in all reality, he had other plans in mind of what he was going to do when he found this king, because nobody was going to be king but Herod in his own mind. So they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went on ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They saw the star and they were overjoyed. Now, we don't know where Jesus was at this time. If you read on in the Gospels, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to be circumcised and to do all the ceremonial things that needed to be done to the firstborn child within the first 7 to 8 days. Okay, so and where did they take him? They took him to Jerusalem. So this is kind of weird as you think about it, because if he was still in Jerusalem, the Magi would have stayed in Jerusalem, but they didn't. They went to Bethlehem. So it tells me that possibly they took Jesus to the officials, the temple, to be circumcised and have all the ceremonial things done to them and then returned to Bethlehem. And possibly that's where the Magi found him, because they went and they stopped, the star stopped over the place where the child was, and they were overjoyed. And they came into the house where he was and saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him, this new king, as Matthew presents Jesus as the king. They opened their treasures, presented him with the gifts, and they were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, so they returned to their country by another route. All right. There's a little more to it than what we just read here when you start to understand what was going on. The Magi had a dilemma. They came because they saw the star and they knew a king had been born, but they didn't know where the king was. You see. So they stopped and they asked for directions. "Well, we know that there's a king and we're seeking him. We want to find this king. We want to worship this king. But we don't know where he is. We can't see him. We don't know which direction to go." So where do they find direction? From the Word of God. They realized they needed something more than what they already had. They were an honorable class of astrologers. They had a lot of knowledge. And I thought to myself, well, the writings of that day were circulating all over the ancient world. Surely they would have known of even the Jewish prophecies that this king was to be born in Bethlehem, but evidently they didn't. So they didn't know as much as they thought they knew. They knew they needed more. They realized they needed something more than what they already had. And they admitted by doing this that they didn't know it all. They weren't like the guy in the car that says, honey, I know where I'm going. I don't need to look at a map. I don't need any help. Just keep quiet. I'm not asking for directions because I think I can figure this out. Well, they admitted that they didn't know it all. And they accepted personally that they could not solve the problem themselves. They realized they needed something more. They admitted they didn't know it all, and they accepted that they couldn't solve the problem themselves. So in humility, what did they do? They turned to the scriptures for direction. I hope you're following me here. Because the scriptures provide a wisdom beyond our human imagination, beyond our human knowledge, beyond all of our degrees and our intellectualism of the day. The scriptures provide something more than anything on earth. Solomon writes in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, this isn't being afraid of God. This is revering God in a way that we know our lives are in his hands, that we know he knows everything, you see. And when we adopt that attitude to know God's in charge, God knows everything, he's in charge of my life, that's the beginning of true knowledge and true wisdom. And for people to despise that makes them a fool. I know where I'm going. I can handle this myself. No matter what happens to me in 2019, I'm in charge of my life and I can handle it. All I got to do is be positive, you see. The Bible says you're a fool. You're a fool. Proverbs chapter 9. Again, Solomon writes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I had a lady that said to me the other day, she was traveling. She was going to be traveling to celebrate someone's birthday, her father's birthday. He's going to be 90 years old, and he lives far off. So they finally are getting all the family together for the first time in years to celebrate her father's birthday. And I haven't heard that he died, but he has become very sick and is in the hospital. And now they're afraid that they're not going to get there before he dies. And they said to me, I don't understand why this is happening. We have everybody coming together. We were going to celebrate his birthday. I don't understand why this is happening. You see, sometimes we're not supposed to understand. Sometimes we're just supposed to trust and know that our lives are in the Lord's hands. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you were wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you're a mocker, you alone will suffer. Solomon says later on in Proverbs chapter 15, Solomon writes an awful lot about wisdom. The Bible talks about true wisdom. In chapter 15, verse 33, he says, the fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. I find it's better to get to my destination on time and get there safely and get there precisely, having asked directions, than to be prideful and not ask for directions, thinking I'm going to do it myself and getting there hours later. And you understand what I'm saying? It's just more wise. It's wiser that we stop and ask for directions like these men did. The result of their humility and their true wisdom going to the word of the Lord The result of that was they came face to face with the Lord. Their eyes were fixed heavenward the whole way they were there, trusting in what was being provided, though they may not have understood it fully. And they finally came face to face with the Lord. And what did it do? It changed the direction of their lives, because now the culture and the king and all these things were no longer in control of their lives and were not going to dictate how they lived. They went home by another direction. They had a new king in their life, and their lives were completely changed. So where does this leave us this morning? In the coming year, in 2019, we are going to be faced with things beyond our human understanding. We're going to be like these men on a journey, and we're going to need some direction. We're going to need some wisdom. We're going to need some strength beyond what we can muster up. The internet is nothing compared to the wisdom of God's word and how God's word has the truth for the day and strengthens us. So when we find ourselves in those times in 2019, it's best to just simply realize that we need something more than this world provides. Secondly, it's simply best to just admit we don't know it all. Oh, we'd like to. We'd like to pretend that we do, but we don't. And thirdly, we have to accept that we're not going to solve the problems by ourselves. We don't have the power. We don't have the knowledge. We don't have the wisdom that God has. So what these men did served as an example to us. They exercised humility and wisdom by turning to the word of the Lord. You will find in God's word strength for the day, light for the way. You'll find something there when you're lost, when you're confused, when you're weak, when you're weary. You'll find something there that will completely change the direction of your thinking and the direction of your spirit and your soul. And you'll return by a different route, praising the Lord. You know, when we get in these situations, it isn't that God isn't there. He's there. But we're not going to find him unless we go looking for him. The Magi saw the star. God's signs are everywhere, his presence in our lives. But unless they responded, not reacted, but responded to God's signs and his words, there's no blessing in this story. They would not have found him. He's there, but we have to look. And we have to look through spiritual eyes, not through the world's ways. And the best way to do that's in the Word of God. We say, God, where are you in this? God, I don't understand why this is happening. It's okay to kneel before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing here. I don't understand this. Why, God, are you allowing this? It's okay, because when we do, we're admitting to God that we need something more than ourselves, that we don't know it all and we can't solve the problem by ourselves. Wow, isn't that what the Bible tells us God loves? A contrite heart, humility, confession, contrition. When we start admitting that before the Lord and turning to his word and saying, I need some direction, we're gonna come face to face with Jesus. I will promise you, I will guarantee you. Why do I believe that? Because the Bible tells me so, and I have found this personally to be more true than anything in this world that we call truth. It gives us direction. You see, they didn't know. They went to the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and they stopped for directions in Jerusalem. Said, where's this king to be born? And where did they get their direction from? God's word, God's prophets, God's promises. So they didn't just say, wow, that's really good, but I don't know. I don't know. It's pretty far. I don't know. Yeah, I read this story, but you know, I don't know if I'm really ready to go the distance. We have to be. We have to be ready to go the distance. Because when we do, we will come face to face with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And no matter what your situation is this year, no matter how grim things seem to be, no matter how hopeless they seem to be, I can tell you that when you come face to face with Jesus Christ, something's going to change in your life. And it'll be evident that you've seen the newborn King, that you've seen the King of Kings, that you've witnessed that he's a reality. And it will change your whole perspective and your whole attitude. We read about these magi. We call them wise men. We have all of our little stories and our thoughts about how they might have been dressed, that they were traveling on camels, although I believe that they were actually driving Chevys, because the hymn says they traversed the far. You know, we have all these little things that we like to interject into the story. But when it comes right down to it and we say, what does this say about God? What does it say about man? And what does it say about the relationship between God and man? It first and foremost reveals God's glory to us. That God's there. God's present. His signs are all around us. Secondly, it reveals that unless we take a look and follow his signs, we're never going to see Jesus face to face, and we're never going to experience the blessing of having him in our lives to save us over and over and over again in life. And thirdly, what does it say about our relationship? It says when we search out God's word for direction, God never fails us. He speaks to us here. He directs us here. He brings healing and hope and peace. And I pray that in 2019 that we are all wise men in a sense. That when those times come, we turn to the word of the Lord and inquire of the Lord and gain a new sense of direction. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for the direction that you give us in your word, that we know we can trust you. And we know that you are an ever-present help in our times of trouble. Thank you for blessing us this morning with your word. And pray that in 2019, whatever comes our way, that we might remember to stop for a second for directions, that we might turn to your word and there find light for the way, a light that outshines the darkness of our situations, that we might be wise, truly wise, to admit you truly are the King that we need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.